as we finish our time here in regards to missionaries. So it says, Friends of Bethel Baptist Church, thank you very much for allowing us to come and share with you what God is doing in Uruguay. It was a blessing seeing some old faces and meeting others who are new. May our Lord richly bless you as you seek to reach Riverview and beyond for Christ. Yours for Uruguay, Mercot, and Tricia Polishan, Hebrews 6:10. So anyway, keep them in your prayers as well. And it's been neat. It's been a valuable little journey and a good exercise in thinking and just paying attention to who we serve and what they're all about and what they do, and connecting with them in those ways helps us when we pray for them. Those needs and those stories that we hear about, those little details will come back to our mind, and we can pray properly for our missionaries. So appreciate that this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and take a look at Genesis chapter 37 here this morning. Back 3 or 4 weeks ago now, or 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, I did a little study in Genesis on Joseph with the group of ladies that I share a little Bible study with on Wednesday mornings at the Grass Nursing Home there in Coverdale. And we finished that and took some requests last week, and they would like to do a study on Esther. So I thought, well, we just did that here, so that's, I got some notes I can refer to. So anyway, that's been an enjoyable little time. Appreciate those ladies there and your prayers for those in our area as we reach out to them and teach the Word of God and share Christ and all those things. But anyway, it inspired me. I really love the study on the life of Joseph. I know some of the David and Moses and Joseph and, you know, Peter and Paul, we sometimes highlight these guys because they are the most prominent in Scripture. There's many, many names that we could look at. And there are some that are not so prominent that are also very interesting to consider. But I thought we'll take a look at the life of Joseph because there's so much maturity, so much faith. There are some weaknesses, some flaws. He's a human being. But there are so many things there that we can draw from the life of Joseph that we can use in our life today, and specifically in application. I always love finding some examples in Scripture that help me or encourage me to apply the truths that I learn about them. And the truths that God is teaching them, for example, things that God would teach Joseph, I see those things and I say to myself, well, God wanted Joseph to know those things. He must want me to know these things. The character of God is consistent. And how can I learn? What can I learn? And how can I apply those things in my life? Whether it's abstaining from fleshly lusts, whether it's being willing to forgive, whether it's being willing to trust God. Those are things that I can apply in my life. I can see those examples, and I can say, hey, I can do that. The Lord will help me. God has shown me in Scripture the path that I can take to follow some of these examples and to live my life mirroring some of these other saints. So Joseph is an interesting fellow, and I thought for the next few weeks we'd take a look at his story, his life, and see what we can learn. We always learn something new. And that's encouraging to me. We never get tired of talking about these stories, these accounts, these people. And we can always learn something new about them. Doesn't matter how many times we look. So that's my prayer this morning, because I know Joseph is very familiar to us. But God willing, we'll learn some things through this study. So why don't we pray and we'll take a look for the next little while. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We ask that you would minister to every single one of us. Father, as we sit under your word, the Spirit in our midst, this is a powerful combination. We have not only your scriptures, your truths that we can listen to, faith cometh by hearing, but also we have the Spirit, your Spirit, Father, that is instructing, that is leading, that is prompting, that is convicting, that is highlighting in our minds and our hearts certain things, specific things perhaps individually. So we pray, God, that you would have liberty this morning to instruct, convict, challenge, encourage each and every one of us in a special way, Father, not only this morning, but as we study through this, the life of Joseph, and Lord, as we continue to worship throughout our day today, be with each and every one, and those that will join us and those that can't be with us, we pray in Christ's name, amen. By the way, Jamie is at the Sackville Hospital with Brooklyn, so Poor girl, she just gets whatever's coming. I don't know if it's an autoimmune issue or whatever, but she's been sick the last few days, and she's been babysitting a friend of hers and Isaac's. So they're watching their children, this couple's children. And she called this morning at 6 o'clock and said, I got to go to the hospital. Can I get some help? So Jamie went to get her, and they're in Sackville. They're doing some tests, trying to figure out what's going on. And so anyway, keep them in your prayers if you would this morning. Hopefully Jamie will join us in a little while. I'm not sure. But Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. So when we think about Joseph, there's a few things that come to mind right off the bat. We know a fellow by the name of Abraham. Abraham, or Abraham, as God changed his name to. And God called Abraham out of Chaldees. And we know his story, another very interesting life to follow. But Abraham had a son. What was his son's name? Isaac, yeah. And Jacob as well would have been considered a son of Abraham. But first came Isaac, then came Jacob. And so we think about Isaac and Rachel. Is that correct? Rachel. I get Rachel and Rebecca mixed up. I think it was Rachel. And that whole, I love that story as Isaac is looking for his master's son to find a beloved spouse and the well and the camels, that whole thing. And then we come to a fellow by the name of Jacob. And Jacob was born in an interesting way. We know that account as he wrestled. Jacob had a brother. What was his brother's name? Esau, and they were what? They were twins. Yeah, Esau was the great hunter. I kind of like to relate to him. I'm not a great hunter, but I like to pretend that I am. And I like the fact that Esau was a man's man. He was a hunter. And Jacob and Esau had some issues. The birthright, the whole thing, the pottage, you know how that goes. And Jacob was a different kind of fellow. He was not so much out in the fields. He was more a fellow that would dwell in the tents. And we know his story as he went out and made his own way in the world and married a gal by the name of Rachel. It's Rachel. and with Laban and the whole thing. And then when Joseph was born, they headed out and to sort of strike out on their own. And we know what happened with his uncle there, Laban, and the whole thing with changing his wages 10 times and all that kind of stuff. But Joseph has made his way out. Jacob is dwelling in the land where he was called to. And we pick it up here in Genesis chapter 37. Now keep this in mind. This is a historical account. The Bible isn't just a book of religious ideas that we might think are kind of interesting. It's not a theory. It's not the theory of Joseph or the theory of the beginning or the theory of God. This is an account. This is historical. This is inerrant. That's the other wonderful thing about it. Not only can we trust this, we know that according to God, this is absolutely factual. There are archaeologists that compare what they find to the Bible to see if they're right. Because they know the Bible is right, Christian archaeologists. Sometimes the Bible is proven right by archaeologists that don't believe in God, because they'll dig up some property or some place and they'll say, well, where's this? What is this? Or they'll find a stone with some writing and lo and behold, they say, well, the Bible's true. So this is a historical, accurate account of the life of Joseph and of really the birth of the nation of Israel through Jacob. What did God change Jacob's name to? Israel. And so as we get into this, there's so much here. Joseph also, I'll say this, was born in a very typical family. Now, we don't all grow up on goat's milk and, you know, wild locusts and honey. There's some differences culturally, but Joseph grew up in a family where his father was challenged with lots of different, Laban is an example of that. And, you know, when they finally ran into Esau again, you remember that arrangement, and Jacob wasn't sure how things were going to be held. Joseph, as a little guy, would have experienced some of those concerns and those fears. You know, when your parents are worried about something, you can kind of tell. And so there was lots of different experiences that Joseph experienced growing up. I got to be careful because I'm gonna start teaching about the wrong character if I'm not careful. Joseph's mother passed, and with the birth of Benjamin. And so this is a young man that has experienced loss, a young man that has experienced some challenges in his family. He's got a big family. He's got lots of brothers. He's got essentially three other mothers. Some of his brothers were born from different women, the concubines, and we know how that all went. He's one of the youngest. He's different than his brothers, like Jacob was different than his brother Esau. Joseph seems to be a little different. There's dysfunction, there's challenges, there's all of these things. So Joseph is a 17-year-old man. I say man because he's no kid. You know, the difference in our world today that way is quite clear. A 17-year-old man that endured being sold into slavery, almost being killed by his brothers, sort of abandoned and disowned and treated unfairly. And all of those are things that Joseph went through. He went through as a young man who believed in God, and God was able to do amazing things through his life. I love that. You know, the Bible says, let no man despise what? Thy youth, Timothy, it says that. I should clarify. But be thou an example to the believers. So young men and young women can be an example to the rest of us, especially when they want to honor God. I'll tell you, there's nothing more convicting and more powerful than when a bunch of young people say, you know what, adults? You're taking us in a very wicked direction. We identify the immorality and the confusion and all of the nonsense of our world, and you're the ones that are heading this up, and we're going to pull away now and honor God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And we're going to serve God. And there are young people that demonstrate that faith, and I appreciate them so much. Joseph was one of these kinds of individuals. Now, one of the things that we're going to learn about Joseph is he's also, in a lot of ways, and other preachers and teachers of the Word of God have made this point, Joseph is a picture of someone else. Anybody want to take a guess at one of the individuals? I don't want to steal your thunder. Picture of Jesus. Yeah, that's right, Phil. Yeah, amen. And we see many examples. Now, that doesn't mean Joseph is Jesus, or this is not a theocracy of sorts of Jesus. It's just that there were things in his life that pictured or were similar to the things that unfolded in the life of Jesus Christ. And we'll see some of those things as we go through this. But the fact that Joseph was a young man, and yet he found favor with so many along the way, and was despised by his own, is really a picture of what Christ experienced as well. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, and what happened? Yeah, his own received him not. They rejected him. They didn't like him. They despised him. Joseph came to his own here. We'll get to that in a little while. And his own rejected him. Here comes the dreamer. I hate that kid. You know, God, let's kill him. That was their attitude. It's pretty astounding when you think, we have siblings, a lot of us. And, you know, I got a sister and a brother. They've never conspired to kill me that I know of. It'd be pretty shocking to find out that my brother Tyler and my sister Tammy were meeting together, and they seen me coming in the driveway, and they thought, you know, we should have killed him. And yet this was their attitude. So this young man dealt with some very powerful emotions around him, very powerful people, and yet he did pretty well. And I love that. Jesus Christ, as a young boy, found himself instructing and teaching and astounding the elders in the temple. Remember what he said to his parents when his parents were looking for him. Don't you know, I must be busy about my father's business. And he grew in wisdom, the Bible says. He grew in favor with others. The Lord Jesus Christ also had to grow and learn. I love that. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 37, so we can get into the text here. It says, and Jacob, this is the father, of course, dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And so Joseph was also a stranger in the land through his father who had brought him there. Again, we see in a sense Jesus Christ is pictured here. He was a stranger in the land, as it were. He came into this world completely different, though he was the Son of Man. He was sinless. But here it says in verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So a couple things. Just let's just dissect this, and we'll understand as much as we can about Joseph and the situation here. Verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17. So that we don't even have to guess. You know, sometimes people will speculate about how old Mary was and Esther and different ones. We know he was 17 years old. That's not a lot of years on planet Earth. When I was 30, I realized I had a lot of growing up to do. It took me till I was 30. I was like, you know, I really don't know everything. Sometimes young people have that idea that, yeah, hey, they're young and they're full of zeal and excitement and they courage and bravery and nothing scares them. And that can be a good thing. That can be an asset. As long as you know, you don't know everything. You know, there's something that comes to mind sometimes is, give me the fool who knows nothing and is willing to learn something over the fool who thinks he knows everything and isn't willing to learn anything else. Right? And so Joseph was the kind of guy that was wise, but willing to learn, and his greatest teacher was God. And look at the lessons. Look at the life Joseph got to live. And it took about 20 years, or probably a little over 20 years, for him to come to the conclusion or the moral of the story that God allowed him to live. Because we remember those words, you meant it for evil, but God, what? Meant it for good. And look how long God stretched that lesson out for Joseph to see that. You know, it wasn't just 24 hours. Oh, okay, this was bad, but tomorrow I'll see why it was good. No, this took a long time, but Joseph learned it. And so he grew in wisdom. God, he was able to learn. God was able to instruct and mold and teach him. He didn't know it all, but he did have wisdom. And the Lord was able to utilize that. The other thing we see in verse 2 is what? He was 17 years old and was feeding the flock with his brethren. I love that he had some experience in shepherding. When we think about the similarities with Christ, was Christ a shepherd? Well, we know his livelihood was what? What did he do for a living? He was a carpenter. Yeah. But is he also not a shepherd? Absolutely. And even the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's some similarities there. And I just love to sort of recognize that and see those similarities. Remember, shepherds weren't the most popular people. They weren't in Christ's time when the shepherds were out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. Those guys were not all that important to the rest of the people in the culture. And even in this period of time, as a matter of fact, shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. Shepherds meaning those that shepherded sheep. Cattlemen were also referred to as shepherds. But they didn't like those kinds, those shepherds that were out in the fields as nomads herding the sheep. And yet Joseph was, in fact, a shepherd. His father raised sheep. His brethren were shepherds. And so I just see that similarity. And somewhere along the line, though he's a young man, he must have recognized or learned some lessons when he watched the sheep, as David often did and would write about. Psalm 23, you know. David was thinking about the sheep, thinking about himself as a shepherd, thinking about God as a shepherd. And so it strikes me that likely Joseph thought about some of those things as well. Why wouldn't he? As he watched the sheep graze, as he considered his own self and the God that created both the sheep and the boy. So we see here in verse 2, the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. You know, when mom and dad leave and the kids are all home alone, who's the big families here? I'm looking at Nancy and Brent. I'm thinking, I wonder what it was like. Well, we know what it's like, right? When mom and dad are gone and you got free reign for maybe a couple hours or maybe a day or maybe overnight. And it's like, ooh, we're going to do some things different for a little while around here. And then one of those siblings of yours brings what? An evil report to mom and dad when they get home. Stop it. Don't. Oh, no. I'm going to tell mom or dad. I'm going to tell mom and dad. And then you know you're going to get it. Well, we used to refer to that. Sometimes it would happen with our cousins when we were at our grandparents. You know, one of the cousins would be outside. Someone would, we used to play a game with sticks and apples. Anybody else play that? It was a lot of fun. You put an apple on a stick and then you whip it at each other. That's what we did for fun. And guess who? It was my uncle that taught us that, just for the record. But anyway, sometimes we get hurt, you know, and, oh, no, it's okay, shh, because we weren't allowed to play that game. And then somebody else would, you know, would the righteous one, you know, the smart one that knew, well, you know, the eye's hanging out. Maybe we should tell Mom and Dad. And they would run in the house, and we'd be like, shh, don't. And we would call them a name. What was the name? Tattletale. A tattletale. You know, that's a biblical word, by the way. A talebearer. You got to be careful about doing that. Sometimes we have the wrong attitude, and there can be some self-righteousness there. I don't know. Now, this is where the connection or the picture of Christ falls apart. Joseph is a human, so we remember that. It's only glimpses, only pictures, likenesses. Though Christ reigns in me, I am not exactly like Christ, but I'm learning to become more like Christ. Likewise, Joseph was not exactly like Christ, but he seems to get himself in trouble with his brothers. He seems to have this attitude of, "Oh, you did the wrong thing. We gotta fix that. I'm gonna rectify this, and I'm telling Dad." And so he brings an evil report, and something tells me this isn't the only time he did this kind of stuff. So, wise or unwise, did he do the wrong thing? Well, no. Right? That's the right thing to do if there's behaviors that are not honorable or that are dangerous or that are taking advantage of someone, in this case, Jacob the father, who wanted his sons to keep his sheep properly, then it wasn't wrong that Joseph relayed the information to his dad, but it just didn't help his situation any, okay? And this is where we find Joseph. Jedidiah was sent to check on his brothers, and he brought back an evil report. Now, was there any way that Joseph could have avoided the trouble with his brothers? Yeah, not tell. You know, as kids, we got to think back a little ways. But I remember contemplating, if I keep this to myself, if I keep this secret with the guys, this crime or this sin, this act that I know was immoral, if I decide to just cover it up, then I know they're going to appreciate that, and my status with them is going to increase, and I'm going to be good. We're going to be good, right? We're cool. That kind of attitude, and that is very appealing. Our young people face that all the time. We just prayed for our children back a week or two ago. We pray for our children all the time, but the little ones that are downstairs now, we know that this is what they face in the world. Hey, don't tell. Don't be a tattletale. Don't shine light on our darkness. So we know already, biblically, Joseph was in the right place to do what he did. It just made life difficult for him. That's what happens, right, as believers. We rebuke, Timothy says, and reprove. We are light in this world. Now, we speak the truth in love. We don't go around, you know, shoving our Bibles in people's faces and you're in trouble. We don't do that. But we say, you know what? The Bible says that is sin. I'm not going to do that. I want to please God. I want to honor God. I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to do what the world is doing. I don't want to follow them. And that makes me unpopular with the world. This is a big boy problem Joseph is dealing with. And how big? They wanted to kill him. It's pretty serious. Right? When the tattletale all of a sudden has a target on him, that's how angry they are with him. But he did the right thing. And the way out of it, as Larry said, was just don't say nothing. Just be quiet. And you could save yourself a lot of trouble. Joseph could have saved himself a lot of trouble. This act aided in resulting in him being sold into slavery and not seeing his father again for over 20 years. If he just had kept his mouth shut and sort of laughed with his brothers and acted like he didn't care and he was a part of it, he'd be safe from them, but not from God. And God wouldn't have been able to use him the way that God did. So there's a lot there that we can learn even already. Any comments or thoughts on any of these things, church?
He would have something over them if he didn't tell.
Yes, that's true too. Yep. He could have used it to his advantage. Power and control, that would have been a temptation. Later on in his life, he kind of did play that role. But he did it in an honorable way to show them their misdeeds and God's grace. And God allowed him to do that. But in this point, yeah, he did the right thing. Any other comments or thoughts? Who sent Joseph to his brethren? It was his dad, Jacob. Now, if we want to spiritualize that a little bit, I think it's true to say, well, God ultimately, absolutely, God made these events or understood these events, how they were going to unfold and utilize them in his sovereign will for wonderful reasons. We'll get to all of those reasons as we study through this. But Jacob sent his son. Now, Jacob is not a dumb guy, I don't think. It certainly doesn't come across that way as we study a little bit on his life. And I don't know if it's true that he didn't pick up on the fact that his brothers didn't appreciate Jacob as much or Joseph as much. I would assume that he probably paid attention to that he was aware and utilized that a little bit. He said, well, Joseph is going to make the right decisions. Joseph's going to tell me if there's something wrong, and ultimately, I need to know. So he wouldn't have been wrong. But I love the fact that the father sent the son knowing that there could be trouble. And likewise with our Heavenly Father, knowing that his son would eventually end up on the cross, which was the ultimate reason and will of God, there's a loving father that demonstrates a love for a world who sends, and love for the rest of us who sends his son into that mixed. And so Jacob, though he recognized, I'm sure, that Joseph wasn't the favorite, that he gets picked on, he still loved the rest of his sons enough to say, I want you to see how they're doing. You know, he could have just left them out there. Who cares? They kill each other out there. That's on them. No, he cared about them. And he demonstrates that there's a few other times, because we often hear, well, you know, he favored one son over the rest of them. Well, he certainly did, and that was a mistake in some ways. Joseph was the son of his old age. He mentored him. He really drew near to him. He loved Rachel. This was Rachel's child. There was some reasons there. But that didn't mean that he didn't love his other sons. And you see that even as we continue to go through this here a little bit. Let's look at verse 3 here. We got a few more minutes. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So, again, Jacob favored Joseph. He was the son of his old age. He mentored him. He loved him. He sort of pulled him aside. He made him this coat of many colors. He used him. Go and see how the rest of your brothers are doing. Let me know if they're doing the wrong thing or the right thing. So there's a very special relationship between these two fellows. Again, we see just a little glimpse or a picture of the relationship between Christ and his father here. But it says that he made him a coat of many colors. I was looking here as Nancy, whoever does the decorating here, I love it. And there's a quilt up there with many colors. And it's perfect. When I went to the nursing home, I brought a little scarf of many colors. I didn't know we had that one. That would have been good too. But so the coat of many colors demonstrates for us a little bit of how Jacob thought about and loved his son for a couple of reasons. Number one, it wasn't just that Joseph was treated differently because, he was more important. But Jacob loved him more and wanted to treat him special, wanted him to know that. So this coat of many colors would have been put together with not only love, but some resources and some time and effort. Getting different colors and materials of different colors was a lot harder back in this day and age than it is today. So this coat not only spoke of the fact that dad loves or he favors Joseph more, but it had some value to it in the eyes of the others that saw that. It was something that, nobility might have worn. It wouldn't have been just a shirt or a jacket. This would have been more like a robe, and he would have put this on. It would have been impressive. It would have drawn attention to him. It would have made him stand out, which is what his dad wanted. He might be young. You guys might not like him, but I love him. He's special to me, and so I'm going to elevate him. And here's one of the ways I'm going to do it. I'm going to make him this beautiful coat. But what dad made to elevate his son Joseph caused others to despise him. You know, and it's subtle, but you see that the example there in regards to Christ? One of the reasons why the Pharisees hated Jesus so much is because he spoke with authority. He seemed to have the anointing of God on him. They couldn't catch him. No matter what they said or what they did, he always was able to outsmart them and outwit them and do his own thing because he was blessed of the Father. But they despised him for it. Instead of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, they hated him all the more. And the love that, and this is getting a little into the psychological realm here, but the brothers later on, they even admit to Joseph, they didn't know it was Joseph, but they say, our dad really loves him, Benjamin. And you know, he lost a son once years ago, and it almost killed him. And he can't stand another one of those. We don't want that to happen. You see, they suffered through the consequences of what they did to their dad. And they realized that was not a good idea. We don't want to let that happen again. So it's just interesting how the Lord is able to change us and help us to see our faults as we go through life. And I believe that's what the Lord was doing with the sons of Jacob. This coat of many colors was made for him, and this was going to play into the story as well a little further, as we know. But look at verse 4. And by the way, we need to be careful to love our children equally. You know, our children are different, and so sometimes we have to discipline them or instruct them a little differently, but we love them equally. It's important as parents, I believe, to make sure that we demonstrate that. We are to love even our enemies as Christians, and that love is not to be lessened or diminished for our enemies as it is with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God doesn't, you know, give us a formula. Love for your enemies a little bit and your brothers and sisters a lot. He's like, love everyone. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an equal kind of love, an unconditional agape love, and likewise in our families. So for whatever reason, Jacob's attitude was a little different, and this caused him problems down the road. Again, it could have been because of Rachel, Jacob's first love. Could have been, just as he said, it was the son of his old age. And he sort of used Joseph as his right-hand man. Just go see how your brothers are doing. I need your help. Come back to me and let me know. Inform me. Verse 4, it says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, so it's clear this is an irritant to them. They see it. And it's part of their frustration. I mentioned that this family wasn't perfect. They had some dysfunction. This is part of it. Dad maybe didn't realize or didn't recognize the problems that he was causing his sons and his family by showing favor to Joseph. For whatever reason, he did. And it caused him problems. Verse 3, he loved Joseph more than all his children. Verse 4, his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. They seen it. That's not a nice feeling. Verse 4 goes on to say, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So we can, according to Scripture, directly connect Joseph's being favored over his brethren with one of the reasons, at least, his brothers hated him so much. Now, they're responsible. Still was wrong what they did. And, you know, they sold the poor kid into slavery. So it doesn't justify any of that. But you know, when we sort of investigate human behavior and we try to break down what went wrong, you know, what happened here? Well, this is the Bible is giving us very transparently a clear understanding of some of the hiccups that Jacob had in his life. This was one of the hiccups. This was one of the reasons for the hiccups. He favored Joseph a little more. And his brethren saw that. And I guess, I don't know, I like to take empathy with those that struggle. And I kind of take empathy with these guys a little bit. It doesn't excuse their behavior, but they recognize, hey, Dad loves him a lot more than us. Have you noticed that? He's always treating him a little better. And he tells on us. You know, we're not perfect, but this kid, he always tells on us. Oh, here he comes. We hate him so much, this dreamer. Verse 4, it says that they could not speak peaceably to him. The more his father loved him, the more his brothers hated him. Now, what can you do with that? It's not wrong for his father to love him. But being clear about your love for the rest of them. and making sure that his sons understood that, I don't know, might have made a difference, might not have. Any comments or thoughts before we're going to look at another verse here before we close, maybe two. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
It doesn't
really
say.
No, but eventually, as they're called out of Egypt and into the wilderness, blue represents the holiness of God. So there are colors do begin to mean different things. We know the ephod of the priest, the jewels on the ephod represented each of the 12 tribes. Each tribe had a jewel that represented them. Each jewel was a different color, and it will be that way in the new New Jerusalem when God creates the foundations. Will represent the same, but other than that, I'm not sure. But I know that for example, some colors are hard to find when you're in the desert especially, and a lot of the colors that they use didn't come just from plants, but a lot of them came from sea life, shellfish. So they would find certain shellfish and draw out different, the concoctions, that whatever's inside these critters, and use them for the different colors. So it was a big deal to find different colored material. It wasn't as easy as it would have been today. So it spoke again of notoriety and importance and all those sorts of things. They had a bitterness, these brothers. So when we look at the other side of this, yeah, Jacob maybe made some boo-boos in favoring Joseph and not being careful about that. But his brothers had a bitterness. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. They couldn't say anything nice. What did your mother say when you couldn't say anything nice? What should you do? Don't say anything at all. You know, that's really good advice, by the way. I've had to take that many times. These guys couldn't speak anything nice about them, but they just hated him that much. Well, that's a problem. If I start to hate somebody, if I'm so bitter, if I'm so envious, if I'm so jealous, maybe rightfully so, I should have got that promotion and they gave it to this guy. I should have got that applause and that praise, but they gave it to the same guy. I should have got that raise and they gave it to him again. This guy's got everything going for him, and they overlook everything good that I do, and nobody's even mentioned this, what I've done over here. Look at all the hard work I've done. I've been here for 20 years, and so after a while, if I'm not careful, I'm going to start having this spirit of bitterness and envy, and those are different words for hatred, and I'm going to despise this individual, and that's going to be a problem in regards to my relationship or walk with the Lord. It's the very Spirit of God that protected Joseph from concocting the same kind of bitterness against his brothers. And who could blame him? You sold me into slavery. I didn't see my father again, who I loved deeply because the rest of you didn't love me. And you stole my relationship from him for over 20 years. I never saw Dad. So there would be reason he could say, I'm right and you're wrong. But God gave him a spirit of humility. God showed him that there was bigger things going on than himself. And that helped. His brothers didn't check that hatred or that bitterness. And they had to look back with regret and with shame. They had to say, you know what? All these difficult things that are happening to us here in Egypt, it's because of what we did way back then to Joseph. God, they never forgot. All those years harboring that guilt and that regret and wondering, is God going to come behind me and smack me because of my sin? And then the day came when they thought, this is it. This is the discipline. This is the consequence. We did the wrong thing. They referenced it amongst themselves, saying, it's because of what we did to Joseph that this is now happening to us. So they never forgot that. And it tells me that they must have considered their hatred and their bitterness and the problems that it caused them. There must have been regret and shame, at least in some of them, or to some degree. And Joseph was able to withstand all of that hatred that he incurred that they had for him without filling his own heart with hatred. And that's a hard thing to do, but a wise thing to do. Any comments or thoughts, church? We're just about out of time here as we close this morning. So just as we close, what are some of the morals of the story? We see some of the pictures of Christ there, but more importantly, what already can we learn from Joseph or from his brothers or from his dad? There's so much. We only look at, five verses? Four verses? Any thoughts on that? Yeah, spread the love. That's right. Good way to put it, too. Spread the love evenly. When I butter my toast, I like to try to make it even. Every bite is consistent. I don't know. I hit a nerve on that one. Anything else? Spread the love. Be careful that when we love our loved ones around us, that we're not giving off a sense of favoritism. I love you more than this. That's going to cause problems. Anything else? What else can we see here in this little lesson? Bitterness. We got to guard against it. Even bitterness that's justified. Every little thing I do wrong, you point it out. Every little thing that I do wrong, you tell Dad. Every little thing that Dad favors you, he loves you, and bitterness and hardness and hatred, and now it becomes my problem. You know, bitterness hurts those who haven't hurt you, and it hurts you also. It does nothing to the person that you're bitter against, really. But it makes me sick, and it even affects and hurts those who haven't done me wrong because they have to experience my bitter attitude. Bitterness is a big deal, and we just have to keep it in check. The best cure for bitterness is humility, and these guys didn't have very much of it, and it was a problem for them. Anyway, just a couple thoughts here this morning. So we'll be in the life of Joseph for a little while, and let the Lord just teach us what he wants us to know, and hope it's a blessing to all of us here this morning. Let's pray, and we'll carry on. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the reminders this morning. And I don't claim to get it all right. As we take a look at the life of Joseph, we're surmising and speculating in some. But Lord, there are also some very clear things that we can draw from the text. Help us to be careful to spread the love, to make sure that we are not showing favoritism to those around us. Lord, help us to be careful not to let bitterness, hatred, envy fill our hearts, Lord, because it can drive us to do things that are not good, things that displease you. Lord, we thank you for what we can learn. We thank you, Father, for this young man and for his life and his example. We pray you would help us to draw from it and to apply these things in our lives as well. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.